And Jesus summed up all the commandments by saying, love God and love your neighbor. And so that is the goal of every marriage, is the great commandment, and you know, to love God and to love your neighbor. All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Speak Truth broadcast, and we want to thank you so much for tuning in, and we're going to ask that you like and subscribe and share. We're trying to build up our listening audience, and so we would greatly appreciate that. I've got my guest with me today. This is Pastor Jonathan Miles. He's on staff here at Edmonds First Baptist, and God brought him to our church years ago. And Jonathan started out as a church member, and God called him to ministry through Edmonds First Baptist, and now he's on staff and serves over our missions and also our median age adults, and has been doing an exceptional job, and has a new baby on the way.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, Jonathan. Well, great to have you with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show today, Pastor.
Yeah, you bet. I've been giving all the other guys a little bit of a hard time, but I don't know what I can give you a hard time about, Jonathan. Your arms are bigger than mine, and so I may, you're younger than I am. I feel like I could take those other two guys, so I would mess around with them a little bit. I'm not sure if I can take you, okay, so I'm going to back off. But what are you going to come share with us today, or what kind of questions you got for me today?
All right, so we've started off, Ashton started with the leave and cleave, and last week episode, Reese picked up on biblical headship.
Yeah.
And so today's topic is going to be family dynamics.
Okay.
The importance of building biblical family dynamics, especially with the fast-paced culture that we live in
today. Right.
And so that'll be pretty much the topic for today.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get started. What's your first question for me?
All right. So can you share with us a bit about yourself and your background in the context of family and faith?
Okay. Yeah. A little bit about my background and my family personally. I grew up in rural southeastern Oklahoma, about 20 miles from the closest town on a little small country farm. And me and my mom, my dad, and my sister. I had an older sister, about 2 years older than me. I would say that I did not grow up in a faith practicing home. My mom did take us to church every now and then, and she would read the Bible to us every now and then, but we were not a church-going family. By biblical standards, we were not a Christian family. I've never heard my dad pray. He has ceased, you know, he has since passed, but my childhood, I did not have a model of a Christian man or a Christian family. So I had no clue what a Christian family or a Christian husband or a Christian father should even do, you know, what he should even do. And so mine was all learning by trial and error. And so, you know, when I met Kelly and we dated, and she did grow up in a strong Christian home. Her dad is a strong man of God, and her mama is a woman of faith. And so I began to see, you know, what it looked like to be a man of God. But and then after Kelly and I were married, we were married. I told her I was a Christian, but I really wasn't. I didn't know I wasn't. But when we were married, I told her I was a Christian. But it wasn't until about a year into our marriage that I realized that I'd never been saved. And that was proven through my actions for that first year. And so after I came to know Christ, you know, our Kelly, my marriage dynamic changed, and of course that had a tremendous impact on the way my family functions today. So
that's good.
Okay.
I think that leads right into our next question for
okay.
you. What would you consider some biblical principles or foundations that are important to you that you have adopted to your family now that you are saved?
Yeah, I would say that the first principle is that every family ought to have a goal. And families don't have to wonder what that goal is because God has already given it to them. God has given every marriage its goal, and God has given every family its goal. And you go to the book of Deuteronomy and you see this over and over and over again, this repeated phrase. When God was, you know, Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, God is preparing to bring the nation of Israel across the Jordan and into the promised land. And God says, you know, if I will bless you as a nation and bless you as a family, if you love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength, and if you love your neighbor as yourself, you know, and then even in the Shema in Deuteronomy 6, the Lord says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength." And then he says what? "You shall teach this diligently to your children." Mm-hmm. As you know, as you carry out your daily life. Parents, mom and dad, here's the biblical principle. Here's the goal of your family. To love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. And then you move on into the Gospels. And when the religious leaders were trying to trip Jesus up, they ask him, "Lord, of all the commandments of God, which is the greatest?" And Jesus summed up all the commandments by saying, "Love God and love your neighbor." Mm-hmm. And so that is the goal of every marriage, is the great commandment, and you know, to love God and to love your neighbor. So
that's good. That's good. So what are some challenges that you have faced with aligning yourself with biblical principles?
Some challenges are the fact that people are not easy to love. You know, I love my wife and I love my kids, and that'll never change.
Right.
But love is an action. It's a verb. Yeah. It's easy to say you love somebody. It's another thing to show love. So one of the greatest challenges to loving God and with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, is the fact that people are difficult and people disappoint us and people let us down and so forth. And so people themselves are some of the greatest challenges to loving them. But if we have a proper understanding of ourselves, mm-hmm. For example, if I realize that I can be weak and I can be sinful and I can be wrong, then I have a lot more compassion for the other person.
Right.
So even though people themselves can make it difficult to love them, nevertheless, humility says they're worth love because they're created in the image of God. My wife is definitely worth love because she was given to me by God, and the wife should feel the same way towards her husband, and then the parents toward their children. Yes, your children are going to be hard to love at times, mm-hmm. but God has given you children as a gift, and our responsibility is to teach them to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that is more caught than it is taught. Parents can sit down and put their children in a huddle in family worship, and they can say to their children, and I think this is, you know, we're all guilty of this to one extent, but a parent can say to their children, "Children, the Bible says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." But if then mom and dad model something different, so if mom and dad are arguing and fighting and calling one another names, if mom and dad are overly strict in their discipline, if they are disciplining out of anger, which in itself is a form of abuse, if they are yelling at their children, it doesn't matter what you tell them. You can tell them to love God all day long, but until you start showing them what that looks like, more likely they're not going to. So I would say to mom and dad, I would say to parents, especially, well, mom and dad, realize that you need, this is more caught than it is taught to your children. You need to model for them what it looks like. Husbands, model for your children what it looks like to love your wife. Wives, model for your children what it looks like to be a helpmate to your husband. Preach the gospel to your children through your actions. And so the family dynamic ought to be built upon the great commandment to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It ought to be built upon a passion to shine the light of the gospel into the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in a generation where people don't even know what biblical marriage is. It's time for Christians to shine the light of true biblical marriage, true biblical family, to truly reflect the gospel in every aspect of our lives.
And that's good.
Yeah.
And man, to be honest, you really kind of covered the next question that I had for you, was how do we implement these biblical dynamics, especially in a culture that we live in today? And I think you kind of covered.
Well, everything in our culture today is against the family, not for the family.
Yeah.
The church is to be for the family.
Yeah.
Culture, you see this through education. You see this through the undermining of biblical marriage. You see the attack on the family through transgenderism. These are all LGBTQ+. These are all attacks on the family, okay? And so there are many attacks on the family today, and the church is to be for the family. So there's going to be many obstacles and many temptations that are going to seek to keep us from modeling godliness in our marriages and in our family. That's why it's so important that we realize that we cannot do this without Christ. Mm. I'm reminded of John chapter 15, where Jesus talks about, you know, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you, and then you'll bear much fruit, right? So I would say to every husband, to every father, that it is absolutely impossible for you to lead your family to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I would speak to the man first in the family, the husband, the father, and I would say to him, you need to make sure that you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that you've had a true born-again experience, and that you know without a shadow of a doubt that the Spirit of the living God dwells in you. Mm-hmm. And that should be made manifest by the fact that you hunger and you thirst for righteousness. Mm-hmm. And so then after that man settles the issue of his salvation, then I would exhort him to abide in Christ every single day. Because it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can be the husbands that we need to be to our wives. And it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can be the fathers that we need to be to our children. Only Christ can. And basically, it's about letting Christ love our wives through us. Mm-hmm. Letting Christ love our children through us. And the way Christ loves others through us is that we love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. When we love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then he loves others through us.
All right, so I'm gonna kind of venture off. I think this is a good question to deal with in the light of family dynamics. How do you deal with that difficult in-law that is really demanding and in light of, and contrary to what your family beliefs are? And really domineering, on persisting that you be at every event hosted at their house.
In-laws, right?
Right.
Or outlaws, which one is it? In-laws can be outlaws. One of the things, I'm really blessed with my in-laws. They're such a godly family and been good to Kelly and I. But I do know that there's an issue of in-laws not knowing where the boundaries are.
Right.
And so I would ask the couple the question, have you clearly communicated the boundaries to them? And if you have not, then you need to do that. And then secondly, once you've clearly, you and your spouse identify those boundaries, you and your spouse agree on those boundaries, you and your spouse communicate those boundaries, and then you and your spouse guard those boundaries.
That's good.
So you need to have boundaries with your in-laws. And again, I want to say that process again. You and your spouse meet to discuss. You agree. You communicate to your in-laws, and then you guard that.
That's
to,
good.
To put it simple, and I mean this not literally, but I guess it should be both, but it could be literal, but your in-laws have no place in your bedroom. Now, what I mean by that is in-laws have no business crossing boundaries that affect the intimacy of that couple. Mm-hmm. And most in-laws, I mean, you have some in-laws who just want to get in everybody's business. And those in-laws who just want to get in everybody's business and tell everybody what to do, and they're bossy and they're pushy, that's antagonistic. And there's only one way that you can really deal with someone who's antagonistic, and that is to not let them establish the boundaries,
yeah,
or to dictate the relationship. You have to establish the boundaries.
That's good.
And then you and your spouse defend and agree on those boundaries. And so, but hopefully those are rare situations. But another mistake that couples make, though, is you have some in-laws who push their way in, but then you have other in-laws who are, they're drug in. She's always running to mama and telling mama everything, telling mama about the fight, telling mama about what he said. And if one of the spouses is running back to her parents, or if he's running back to his parents, then they're dragging the in-laws into that relationship.
Yeah.
And so that's why a couple needs to be very careful about what they share with their mom and dad or with their in-laws. I think a person needs to have somebody to vent to. A wife needs to have a friend to vent to. A husband needs to have a buddy to vent to, someone of the same sex. A man should vent to a man, a woman, not to someone opposite other than your wife, okay? But you got to have somebody to vent to. But if you're venting to mama or to daddy, mama and daddy don't forget, okay? They don't forget. And it sets up for awkward Thanksgivings and awkward Christmases and all that when your mother-in-law's giving you the death kill across the table, because she knows what you said to her daughter in the heat of a moment in an argument because she vented to her mama. And now she wants you to come to Thanksgiving at her parents' house. You know she told mama. You know mama's mad at you, and you're supposed to sit there and want to go like nothing's a problem. Oh, we create those problems.
Yeah.
So make sure that, I would say, make sure that you're not creating the problem by going to them and telling them your secrets. But then also, if you're not doing that, but they're still pushing their way in, then you've got to establish some hard boundaries and stand by them.
That's good. That's good.
So.
And I think this may conclude our session.
Yeah, we probably need to start winding down.
And I think I have one good question for our active listeners today is, what advice would you give our listeners who are striving to incorporate biblical principles into their family?
Yeah, the scripture tells us to be steadfast and immovable because our work for the Lord is the only work that's not in vain. So I would encourage those couples that are striving to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength to do the very same thing that Paul tells us in his letter to the Corinthians in chapter 15. Be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And also what Paul said to the church at at Colossae, there in Colossians, when he said, don't grow weary in doing good. So that would be my counsel. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you at our next podcast. Until we meet again, serve the King.